Somebody said, is the Bible against borrowing? And what is wrong with outsourcing? All right. What's wrong with outsourcing? Nothing. Let me leave it like that. I don't. As we go on, please answer some of these questions yourself. I cannot take the issue. I'm not a business, what do you call it? I'm not a business consultant. I'm not a management consultant. I'm not. So I don't even know the meaning of outsourcing more than what the general man on the street knows. But what I have just explained is that before you throw people out of jobs, be careful. That's what I have said. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Uh-huh. You don't just outsource because it is cheaper. You see, as I was sitting down there, I realized something. That there was a pattern I started with, which is very good. We'll take a spiritual foundation and get some practical things added to it, all right? So today I'm going to give them some spiritual foundations again, all right? Because we must never forget why we are gathered here is because we are believers and we expect the power that works towards those that believe. Quickly open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. I think I should read that. I will answer those questions. I have not forgotten. But let's just read this. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul was talking to the people, writing to the Ephesians and telling them how he had been praying for them. He said that this is my prayer that God, that's verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. In verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, please notice verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? That's just what I want to read. All right? Let me just conclude that portion. He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, let me just emphasize that expression again. That is, he said, there is a surpassing greatness of his power, and this power works toward those who believe. I'm going to emphasize something, that why we are gathered here discussing is because I believe that we have something different from what the world has. If you believe that, say amen. There is something that we have that people in the world don't have. All right? We know that God is working on our behalf. And what we are trying to do, there's something I want to start with. Let me just say it now. There is nothing you want to create on the earth God did not think about first. If you were the first to think about it, it will never work. Amen? No, get this point clear. You know, that's why somebody asked a question the other day. Said that, how do you know what is God's call and what's your desire? And I said, the truth is that if you walk with God and you are closely applying yourself to him, relating with God as a believer, then he's converting your desires to be his desires. That is, he thinks of something first, then he plants that thing in your heart, and this thing suddenly becomes nice for you to do. Are you getting my point? For example, there was nobody that Jesus healed that God did not want to heal. Are you getting my point? So what will God do? God will arrange events for the sick man to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? And then when he meets him, he knows what the Lord will do. He knows that compassion will move him. Are you following the point? And when compassion will have moved him, he will now move towards that person and pray for the person. And the person will be healed. That's why he used to do, like I said, only what he saw the Father do. That is, there was nothing that was first with him. What am I trying to explain? That what we are trying to do as believers is to tap into that which God wants to do. Are you getting my point? That he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And bring out an issue from there. That God again is also going around. He's looking for somebody who will go with him, trying to create prosperity in the heart of our land. First in our hearts, all right? And then outwardly. That is, God does not enjoy it when people suffer from poverty, from lack. Are you following the point I'm making? God's desire is that people might be blessed. Therefore, there is no idea you have. Please, I said that you go away with CDs, all right? There's one called Creating the Opportunity for Prosperity. See, what I explained there is that, first of all, listen to this, for a believer, and this is how spiritual things work, we are not out there to struggle with people. Listen, There's one thing I saw once, and it impressed me. When Evander Holyfield fought Michael Tyson, I think for the first time or the second time, I'm not sure which one now, Evander Holyfield's manager said that there was no way on the earth that Tyson could beat Holyfield. It's not as if Holyfield was the strongest man or that the man believed so much in the faith of Holyfield. After all, Mike Mora beat Holyfield that time. I know if you know a bit of boxing, all right? Now, but why did he make that statement? He said he noticed that when they had this their pre-match interview, he noticed that Mike Tyson could not face Holyfield. He couldn't look him in the eyes. What am I trying to say? That first of all, Evander Holyfield had won before the fight came to be. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, in their souls, all right, the contest of the spirits, Evander Holyfield had already defeated the other fellow. There's a teaching I have, well, I didn't preach it, but I may have read it here and there. I have a writing on it. I titled The Strength of the Spirit. Okay? Listen, if you are strong in your spirit, you will overcome what is outward. You first must be defeated in your heart first before you are defeated outwardly. There is no outward situation strong enough to defeat a man whose heart has not yet been defeated. Listen, let me tell you the truth. The most powerful creature on the earth is a human being. Do you understand my point? He has power, and I'm not talking about Christian now, the human being. He has power in himself so strong that sometimes even God they fear, in quote. What do I mean? When he wanted to build the tower, God said, this is an emergency. It's a crucial emergency. He said, there is nothing that they have imagined to do. Now they are in agreement. There's nothing that they have imagined to do that they will not be able to do. So therefore, let's go and cause disagreement amongst them. We first have to defeat them inside their hearts first. Otherwise, outwardly, they are going to win. There's nothing you can do. Now, imagine that a believer now taps into the power of God, the power of grace. Are you getting my point? And he now faces the challenges of life. Listen to me. The man is unstoppable. That woman is unkillable. Believe me, people don't even die by accident, though. I'm sure if Satan cannot kill you in your heart first, you know, even if... When they shot Alex Zibro that time, I said, this man will not die. They said, why did I say so? I said, they gave him an unarmed man to armed men to shoot. They shot and shot. They couldn't kill him. I said, this man will not die. You get what I'm trying to explain? Now, so please, get what I'm trying to say here. That first of all, as believers, we win inside. And once we have won inside, we will win outwardly. Are you getting my point? Listen, the issues of life. One of my favorite movies, about three movies or four that I really love in this world, all right? One of them is Matrix. I love Matrix, The Devil's Advocate. Those two movies. Why do I love Matrix? I said, this is what real life is. Everything outwardly is actually being played inside. It's a spiritual battle. All the one you are doing outside. That's why the Bible talks about double-mindedness. There are people who get up in the morning to go and do things that their hearts don't agree with. Do you follow my point? That's why you first must be converted in your heart if you are ever going to succeed outside. You first must be converted where? Inside your heart. If you are not, please make sure you listen to that series again. Even if you have listened to it before, creating the opportunities for prosperity. That's what I emphasize in there. That is why when you want to pray, don't think you're a smart person. Know something for sure, that God has already created something. Listen, don't think that maybe my dreams are bigger than that God has for me. Will you agree? And unconsciously, we may think about that too. I know God, what we are thinking of. You should say you don't think that one. No, the truth is that you cannot, look, after many years of experience and working with God, you begin to come close to, you know, that's when you have any hope of even coming close to seeing what he can achieve in your life. Are you getting my point? So forget it. If you like, dream that you will create companies bigger than General Electric plus Grameen Bank. All right? Plus everything Nigerian stock market put together. It's a small thing. If you can conceive it. It is not about struggles. Oh, I wish you would understand. It's not about struggles. That's why one of the things you must do, let me give one lesson for today. Spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy. Another strategy, read. Write that one down. Strategy, dash, read. Next strategy, read. The third one, read. And next one, read again. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean? Because some people have never read something. They think that the one we are doing has never been done before. What I'm talking about reading now actually is that it helps you to enlarge your heart, open your mind, so that you know. That's why I showed us that lecture yesterday. So that you know what people have done, so your heart will know it can be done. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's a way God... Let me tell you something. I learned this one long ago. If your heart can only receive less, you know, because there was some question Chike asked the other day about money. How can you be sure that you won't leave the vision and pursue money? And I told that money actually is not a bad thing. It's just that people misuse it. They use it for the wrong purpose. What I mean is this. It's given as a measure. God put it there for you to help measure some things, all right? In business world, you have to use money. That's the only way you can measure what is going on. So, as an example, we're talking business. Now, let's assume that your heart can only conceive 100 million naira worth, no, forget that one. Let's say 10 million naira worth of business. And I give you 1.5 billion. You know what's going to happen? You will waste and waste. You will badly invest. The time you finally settle and start sleeping well and start making profit is when that money drops to 10 million. That's why God doesn't give you easily. And that's what I wanted. You know, today I said I'll talk about how to get money for your business and stuff like that. All right? In fact, I'm already into it, okay? I'll still answer these questions along the line. Let me just continue talking because it seems to be flowing now. That is why God allows you to grow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, the child that was born yesterday is as much a human being as you. Assuming you are 25, you are 35, whatever you are. The child born yesterday is as much a human being as you are. You know the difference? Is experience. You have eaten for longer. You have encountered many more things. You have fallen. This is what I'm going to say. You have gotten up. Are you getting me? I mean, sometimes I just worry about, worrying, could like, I think about something and I say, God, may it never happen. You have people children that get missing, they are abandoned. And I imagine that maybe I leave my child on the road and I drive away. What will he do? Do you know the reason why the guy would be thoroughly lost? He has never had to find his way on the road with so many cars passing up and down, he having to cross the road, take transport. Now, someone like my son, like Elu, he could actually do it. The other day, my wife had to take him to his friend's house. He has a classmate. Oh, hi. That's the boy's name. His friend. So he worried his wife until my wife agreed one day. But my wife said, but I don't know the boy's house. The boy said, I do. I know his house. Now, because he lives very far away from school, so usually he's the last one the bus will drop. So he knows all the houses where they stop on the way. So one day they were going. There's another of my wife's friends that lives somewhere not too far away from that chap. So anytime they pass in front of that person's house, he will identify that, this is this person's house. The other one doesn't go to their school. So one day just told my wife that, look, I know their house. Just take me to this other fellow's house. So my wife drove up to that person's house. So when they got to that fellow's gate, I told my wife, turn, go down this road. When you get there, turn here. It's a red gate and it's number 10. When he was doing this, believe me, he was just about 5 years old. He knows, look, he was telling my wife that house they will have to visit one day. That he knows all the houses, because he's been in the school bus. The school bus is going from here to there. He points, this is where this person lives. This is where this person lives. Because that's where the person comes off. What I'm trying to figure out is this. But if you drop him here, why can't he go there by himself? Because he's not had the experience of stopping a taxi. He has not had the experience of stopping a bus or stopping a bike. He's not had the experience of crossing the road. So the difference between you and him, though you are 30 years older than him, is what? Experience. And that's why people go to school. You know one of the reasons why you read? So that you can create, you can program into you, very good word, program, you know, like program a computer. Program into your mind other people's experiences. That's why I said you must read, read and read and read. I'm bringing out something. So what God does with this, He gives you time to develop. First time you do business, you handle 200 naira. Then you get used to handling 200 naira. You get used to the idea. It's not foreign to you anymore. Then one day, you are able to handle 10,000. Then you grow up one day, it becomes a million. Listen, that's how you keep growing. Now, you see, I led the fellowship when we were on campus. I remember when I handed over to the guy who took over from me. Suddenly, he had to make all the decisions. Now, as a young man who just receives allowances. I remember the first day they walked up to him, there are some equipment in our fellowship needed repairs and all of that. And when they presented the bill, do you understand what I mean? That we will pay to repair it. The fellowship had the money, but I remember very well, this is my guy, he walked up to me and said, Banky, I beg, look at this. So I just looked at it and said, okay, let them do this one. Now, I noticed what was his problem. He had never approved such expenditure in his life. do you get my point? You just approve expenditure of money more than your school fees and 6 months allowance. The reason was simple. He had never done it. But I had done it for 3 semesters. I had become used to it. You get my point? I know that heavens won't fall. I mean, we have to buy the speaker. We have to repair the amp. Maybe the generator is bad. We have to do it. There's no other way. And once we have the money, we have to spend it. But after I shut up, of course, he got used to it. I'm going to bring out something. That's why God doesn't drop money on you suddenly. He has to build you up through experience. The Bible says that strong meat. Let's quickly read that one. I think that will be Hebrews chapter 6, thereabout. All right. Just go a verse backwards, all right? If you are in Hebrews chapter 6, just go a verse backwards. Now, here, Paul has been speaking about Melchizedek, and he said, look, there are many more things we have to say, but we cannot continue now. The reason he said is because you guys, now let me read from verse 11 of chapter 5. He said, concerning him, we have much to say, that is Melchizedek, and it is hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing. He said, verse 12. He said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, that is simple food, and not solid food. That is, you have come to spend money, do business only in thousands of naira, and not plenty of it. He said, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. I want to draw a parallel from here. He said, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, verse 14, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and what? Evil. My Bible is the New American Standard. It said, it's because of what? Practice. King James used the word, by reason of what? Exercise or use, some Bible says. When they have done it again and again, they become accustomed to doing it. Now, let me now answer that first question. How do I get money for my business? One question a lot of people ask. I think I gave this illustration some time ago. Somebody one day walked up to my wife and said, please, very nice guy, honest person. He wanted to do a kind of business. So he was trying to raise some money, whether she could help and stuff. So she told me about it. I said, very nice. I think he's a very nice man. He wouldn't ask you for this kind of thing if he didn't need it. But give him money. But more importantly, give him advice. And you know, as far as I was concerned, why I wanted her to give him money was so that he would receive the advice. I don't know whether you understand the point. Because if you don't drop the money, it will be like you are talking because you don't want to give. So I said, give him money, but more importantly, advice. What's the advice? I said, build up your capital little by little. I said, look, you're a nice person. You may know people and they'll be nice enough to give you money. I said, but that's a great mistake. How many of you read the Robert Kiyosaki's Richard Poor Dad? Rich Dad was a very rich man who refused to give Robert Kiyosaki any money. He said, no, that won't help you. And the man wasn't being stingy. If you read behind the lines, you know he was a generous man, really. He just said, look, this is the easy way out. I have a friend who disagreed a lot of things concerning ministry. I told him that this is where we disagree. On money matters. I said, I don't believe in raising money for ministry work. Like, maybe we want to do something. And I go around one person after the other. And say, please, we need of this. Contribute something. He said, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I said, it's not a sin. But one day we had a discussion. My wife used one word. He said, it's the easy way out. It's not a sin. I said, it's the easy way out. And there's a problem with easy ways out. On the long run, they don't help you. No, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. A lot of things that are easy, they don't help. I told my wife to tell him, look, if everybody gathers and gives you money, you will waste it. Chances are, you will what? You will waste it. Go and read the story of all this dot-com boom in America. Because dot-com was a happening thing. Imagine that Google was launched first, and then maybe ABC search engine came after. Because of the success of Google, the other ones will tend to do well also. So a lot of venture capitalists, there are people they call venture capitalists. You have a nice idea, they give you money to start. They take a chunk of the business as theirs. Now, because of that, they could raise a lot of money. Once it was a craze. You get my point? It was a craze. Look at Nigeria recently. Stock market, once you, even if what you are doing is selling cocoyam, you know, in every local market, just list in Nigeria's stock market. You will make your own killing before the thing went down. And for those of you who don't understand, all those big bank MDs, man, they chopped big time. They did. That the first IPO they did wasn't a fantastic one. I mean, it was just okay. That they are all their IPOs, initial ones. But when they came, that second wave of public offers, ha, yakada. Woo! Stocks that came out first time at 3 naira, they were now selling 50 couple stock at 18 naira 50. As soon as everybody put their money, I told everybody that time, I said, this is a great mistake. I said, look, what, according to Warren Buffett, what wise men do at the beginning, fools do at the end. I said, this thing was good at the time. I said, this one, people are capitalizing on the boom in the market. Anyone who puts money in will lose out. Of course, you know, I was proved right thoroughly. I was thoroughly proved right. Number one, they tell you, it's 1850. You pay. They keep your money for 8 months. They allocate you 10% of what you paid for. Return the balance to your pocket. Next day, the share drops to 69 in the market. Currently, maybe going for like 3.60 now. And everybody lost money. I know most people don't talk. Everybody is bleeding. They are bruised. Nobody's saying anything. You get what I'm saying? Anyway, this is the point I'm making. So you see, the thing is booming. So everybody rushes to get money. So this, during that dot-com boom, that's the same that happened. You just decide that your own website is how to design fans and sell them in churches, Nigeria.com. So fansinchurches.com. Of course, people give you money. Now, this is the point I'm making. When the stock prices began to drop, the money they gave you should not have vanished if you did not misuse it. You know what most of the guys did? I mean, five young guys suddenly give you $10 million. You list the value of your company is already $100 million. So instantly, you know what guys do? Buy a car, rent one touche office, do serious branding, pay for adverts in papers, spend $10 million in 1 year. The only thing they have left in that company is the name and the fact that there's still a boom in the market. So they can raise that $10 million by selling stock. Do you get my point? Except that as soon as Bill Gates is a servant of God, if you know what I mean. There are different kinds of servants of God. Some of them are believers, some are not. As soon as they release Windows 98, the bundled Internet Explorer. All right, you know what they call bundling? Okay, let me teach those who don't know. Computer language is very interesting. Your computer is made, can't do anything. It can't speak English, can't speak Greek, can't speak Hebrew, can't speak anything. So they first give it a program that teaches how to speak language. It's called an operating system. That only teaches it language. That is, how to communicate. All right, then you now put application softwares on them, in which you now said, okay, you now told it the instructions on how to put on the fan. So it will now put on the fan for you. All right? Now, most companies, all right, now, what you call... I mean, many of you know Firefox. You go to browse. Opera. All right. Internet Explorer. They are application softwares. All right. Now, there was one company called Netscape that made the first popular one. That made what they called the Navigator. Netscape made Navigator and they were making a lot of money because every time, forget the one that here, you go and buy software for 200 naira tikeja. In advanced countries, you pay good money. For example, if you buy your Microsoft Office, Windows, you know, not Windows. Office, Word, and all that, it costs about $200 to $300 to be able to type on your computer using Microsoft Word. All right, it's quite expensive. Okay? Now, so Netscape, their main product was that internet browser called the Navigator. When Microsoft came out with Windows 98, you know, anytime you get a copy of Windows, Notepad comes on automatically, WordPad, things like that, some games, they just added Internet Explorer, added it to Windows 98 and released it, thereby making Internet Explorer free. You get what that means? What does that mean? You don't have to go and buy Navigator. That was what, listen, that company died instantly. The stock price dropped from about $500 to $50. Bill Gates killed the company overnight. All the antitrust things that were done charged against the man, that's where it started from. That these are predatory practices. In my mind, I just laughed. Oh, God. Anyway, that's not where my story is. That ignited a crash. Suddenly people woke up and said, what's really happening? What are these people really manufacturing? They realized that nothing. So stocks that were worth $100 came down to $1, $2, in fact, half a cent. Now, let's get back to where we started from. So the man went, okay, where's the money we gave you? The money has been blown in five-star hotel accommodation, flying first class, taking newspaper adverts. The money had been spent. Why? Because they did not build the money from anything. Do you follow the point I'm going to make? The Bible says, he that gathers by labor increases wealth. I'm coming to something now. How do you get money for a business, my friend? Number one, don't be in a hurry. Remember that our message? Listen to it again. Open my eyes, oh Lord. Usually you have more than you think. Did I hear an amen? Usually you have what? Yeah, in fact, Chike insists is you have all you need. What advice I told my wife to give that fellow, I said, this business you want to do, you don't have to buy machinery. I know the first thing you do, let me give you an example now. Let us assume that you want to start designing graphics as an example. Somebody tells you that you need a computer, and you go to price a good computer for graphics, and the minimum you can get is maybe 150,000 naira. So, there are two ways to go about it. You can go and borrow 150,000 naira, or you can go and, if you're a Christian, you have many friends, beg them to give you 150,000 naira, and that's you. Or, you can say, okay, let me sell a portion of this business, all right, so somebody invests in it. All these things are possible. But you know what I found the easiest way? Go to a cyber cafe that has a good computer and do all-night browsing. They will charge you 400 naira to browse all night. Do your work at night for 400 naira. Buy a good flash for 2005. Discuss with them, look, this is what I want to do. Normally this computer, at the whole night, what can I take and do? Maybe it's 400 naira per person. I don't want the internet. Just allow me to install these programs. I will work on it 400 naira a night. See what I'm saying? Why you don't think such thoughts is because you think it's easy to get money another way. That's why people don't think such thoughts. Just simply walk up to the cyber cafe. They don't have to be your friend. They charge $400 for online browsing. No be so. Just pay them the 400 naira and the computer is yours the whole night. When you finish, put all your work on one flash and walk away. And tell them, I'll be back tomorrow night. So during the day, sleep. See your clients, take instructions from them. And the clients that give you work, when they say, okay, we'll come to your office. Say, no, I'll come to your office. I'll bring your work on a flash. They won't get the point that it's because you don't have a computer. So when you get there, say that, let me show you what I have done. You plug into their computer. All right, look at this, look at that, look at that. Okay, what do you really like? You will like this, you will like this. You make a few adjustments on the fellow's computer. Say, can I work here for a while? Say, yes, why not? Let me just finish it so that I won't waste your time. The truth is that you ain't got a computer. And because the man wants his work in a hurry, he will let you use his computer. Meanwhile, everybody owns a laptop. Most people want your work, they own a laptop. Just say, okay, well, why don't I come to the office? You'll be there while I do it, while you're working, when I'm through, I'll let you see it. Do you have a computer I can use? He said, no problem. So just charge him little. Reduce his price so he can use his computer. Go there. By the time, that's the next thing I'm going to say. When you make the first money, I told you there's seed for the sower, and there's bread for food. If you have operated the principle I said before, in which try and learn to abase, work somewhere else, earn little, eat. Now, the advantage of that is that in this business you have just started, you don't have to eat anything from meat yet. Do you get the point? Simply, the first person pays you, they pay you 2,000 naira. Thank the Lord with it. Take small, do offering. Spiritual seed is very good, all right? Take the rest, keep it, open a bank account, save it up. Keep on adding it up until it hits 50,000. Now, you see, there are things people don't understand. People say, I'm just walking by faith. Faith is not, it's not that you don't, perhaps they know the condition of your flock. See how your flocks are multiplying. What I mean is that if you've noticed that your cash flow in the last few months has been bringing you up to 10,000 naira from that deal or 20,000 in a month. Do you understand my point? When you hit 50, you can go and give Chike 50,000 and say, give me a computer. You are so sure you will pay him over the next few months and be complete with pay. But people would rather come and say, just give me the computer. I'm believing God that I will be able to pay you. And when you can't pay, he can't fight you. He can't kill you. The computer is now Tokumbo. That's why, look, what I'm telling you is godly wisdom. Is what? Godly wisdom. I'm telling you, you want to start making clothes, you don't have money for machine. Listen, I'm not saying, somebody say, what's wrong with borrowing? We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm not saying borrowing is bad. But the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. And people don't understand something. There are different people. Borrowing for different people means different things. If you go and read Robert Kiyosaki, he described good debt and bad debt. And there's a reason why I'm using that reference. So is borrowing wrong? We'll see what borrowing is. If you pay rent at the end of the month, if you live in a place where rent is paid at the end of the month, I hope you know you've borrowed for 30 days. Yes, you're not. Every day you have not paid, you have borrowed. Are you getting my point? You know, I was discussing with my wife the other day. I said, look, if you're in a place, you know, my car had a problem, and we're just talking. I said, look, once cars begin to age, the problem starts coming one after the other. I said, this is the advantage of developed societies. Like, if you go to a place like America, I said, for a man my caliber, I'll just walk up to the shop, pick another car. I won't pay a dime. We'll agree. I want a Honda. I give you $250 a month. We'll agree that I drive the Honda for 2 years. I must not clock more than 25,000 miles on it. I give you $250 a month. It's a brand new car. It's covered by warranty. I don't have to change the oil. Depending on the kind of oil they put in it, the 2 years, I won't change the oil. I start the car, drive to work, and drive back. At the end of 2 years, I return their car to them. It's a lease. He said, how come you are not owning the car? I said, no, I don't want to own it. I want to just use it every month. Now, there's a reason why I'm giving that illustration. I don't have to borrow money to buy the car. Where good credit works, that's the kind of, Nigeria doesn't have that yet, seriously yet. So I'm trying to answer the question, is it totally wrong to borrow? No. That kind of thing, once I pay you at the end of the month, I have actually borrowed the car essentially for 1 month. Then I gave you the money. Then I'm not owing again. Then I owe you for another. So the law is not that you must never borrow. You borrowed it essentially in that kind of situation. All right? But before you do that, you can see that it's something you can handle. But I'll use that one to illustrate something I was saying earlier. As you want to make clothes, you know how to cut, you know how to sew, but you don't have a machine. Have you noticed that most tailors close at night? How do you pay to use their machine at night? When you've gone to, just show that you know how to handle it, you will do your own work at night. Instead of buying a whole car, like I was saying, you're buying it on a daily basis. You see, simple wisdom. One of the reasons why we don't operate all this wisdom is because it's so easy to go and beg somebody. I like Nigerian banks on one thing right now. They are so useless that people have to think. Nigerian banks are terrible. As Nigerian banks are today, forget Nigerian banks, banks generally in the whole world, they are manned by selfish people. People say that bankers are those that give you money, and they give you their umbrella when the sun is out, collect it back once rain starts falling. If you show a bank you don't need money, they will lend you. Do you understand my point? Therefore, what God will do for you, this is again prophetic, you will get to a point where you can show all of them you don't need anything. Did I hear an amen? People don't know where to say this amen. I said you will reach a point where you can demonstrate you don't need it. Jimmy Ibrahim said, the pursuit, that is, Zenith begged him, say, I think it was first band that first gave him 10 billion naira, take credit. Then Zenith came with money, said, I don't want. What is it? You want to kill me with credit? He had done his business, most of his business, I think then he was doing with Oshonik, I don't know about now. We'll talk about, well, I don't want to go into details of credit and all kind of, let me stick to my spiritual side. Do you understand my point? But the point is that the man didn't need the money, so they are now begging. And listen to me, that's why you have to increase, because I'm going to talk about that again. Be fruitful and multiply. He doesn't pay your own interest rate. I hope you know that. An average person walks in there, collects 2 million naira, you pay a total of 25 to 28% per annum. Jim O'Brien will tell them simply, if you won't take 9%, go. I'm not joking. When he said, to him that has, more shall be given. Look, Jesus was telling the truth about life. The interest rate that small people pay is more than twice what big people pay. They will borrow at international rate, because if you don't like it, they walk across to Stanbic in Africa, in South Africa, and collect money from there. If you don't like it, they will go to an international bank and collect money. So, you want to be harassing him with your 25%? On 15 billion. Are you out of your mind? The man will answer you. He said, listen, this is the best I can do. I give you 9%. You don't want it, go away. Do you know why? It's called dominion. Everybody say dominion. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and then have dominion. You can vex all you want. If you don't have the ability to borrow 10 billion, nobody... Look. Take even, you know what they call commission on transfer? If you have a current account, you put in 10,000 naira, collect it back now, you're not going to complete again. The bank removes 5 naira for every 1,000 naira you put inside that you try to take out of a current account. So on that 10,000 naira, they have removed their CO2. How much is that now? That will be 50 naira, be? Good. So for most people, they don't complain because it's small money on 10,000. When you put in 100 million, calculate it. You get the point? For that reason, those who put in 100 million don't pay 5. They don't pay. You go to the bank manager, say, wait. How much? I'm going to roll. Wait. I give you guys 2 per million. You don't want to give me my money. Manager say, wait now. Sit down. Are we quarreling? Sit down. He said, no, I'm serious. Look, listen, guys, the best I can. You see, Glo, MTN, Celtel, Zain, they roll money through the banks. You think they pay 5 per mil? They don't. They pay 2, 1.5. Those are the amounts they pay. If you don't want, there's no quarrel. They collect their money. Say, thank you very much. They just walk across to the other bank. It's called what? Dominion. And for information, some people can afford not to pay at all. They say, don't worry. I'll maintain the minimum balance of 100,000 naira. But like pass 1 billion to the account, we'll be tied if you touch it there. The manager will say, no problem, sir. Everybody say dominion. Good. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. But at the beginning, this is what God says. He said, be fruitful and what? Multiply. It's so important. God doesn't give something to you as a harvest, boom, all of a sudden. Bishop said those days, a young man came to him, that's ministry work now. And said, please, in this, he wanted to start ministry. Well, Bishop should give him money. Bishop said, how much? He said, I think 300,000 naira. Bishop said, you're a rogue. You're a rogue. I looked at him, what are you doing with 300,000 naira? He said, we need money to rent a hall. Listen, church is not hall. I hope you understand the point. I'm not saying fine things are not good. If you think that fine things are not good, why are we trying to put air conditioner here? The second one, we're going to put it there. No, I mean, a good thing is a good thing. Do you understand my point? I'm not saying it's not. But, in fact, you are all witnesses that until last year, we refused to repaint this place. Did it stop you from coming here? I used to say that if one day we couldn't pay rent, I would shut the door and leave a note that my house has a garage. Everybody wants to hear Pastor Banky. Find your way to my garage at home. Yes. No, I'm serious. And if I don't like that, there are primary schools around. I walk up to the headmaster and offer to pay a small amount of money. When we are going, I will load all our equipment in the boot and drive down there. That's why I told somebody that, look, I won't go around raising money. I won't. I just will not do it. Know the message you want here? When people are jogging in Opera Square, I'll tell Bible study at 6:30 a.m. I will put my recorder beside my mouth. Look, oh God. Ask Deji. He will sit down in that corner when we first started. I had my microphone like this. Are you ready? 2 hands, you press record. And you are still listening to the message today. Man on assignment. Yeah, it's still there. Understand the new covenant. That's how we recorded it. When we started converting the messages to a digital format, those ones we first recorded. The old computer we were using used to save a 45-minute message in 25 minutes. That after we've recorded it on WebPad, click save. We'll go bath, shave, cook, fry dodo, eat. It's still saving. It's so funny now. Go in there now, with the computer we have there. You click save on a 1.5 hour message. In 3 minutes, it's saved. On this my computer, I click save on a 2 hour message. 3 minutes, it's saved. Then, I'm not joking, when we record one side of a tape, 45 minutes, we click save. We timed it. This is not a joke. It was DJ9 timed it. Let's see how long it takes. You could hear crrr as the hard disk is working hard to code all the message. Which technology I not learned? Laplink. Some of you never heard of Laplink. I want to buy Laplink cable to transfer from that old computer to a desktop. Will now connect. And there have been days that you think it is linking, not linking anything. 4 hours. When I say, look, to transfer 1 gig was 4 hours. 1 gigabyte of audio to another computer. So, because this one was so old, it doesn't have all this bond, this USB port. Say, what happened? USB waiting. Now, what I'm doing, that was ministry. But people think it's only ministry. But I'm telling you, it also happens in business. Do you get my point? It also happens in business. People have to learn to take things stage by stage. I'll tell you a problem. Let me just add this on to it. I'm saying many things. Be very careful. When did Esau lose his birthright? When he was hungry. Thank you. Forget that Nigerians know how to break contracts. Where people honor contracts, and God said, he that will ascend the mountain of God is the one that swears to his own heart and does not change. That is, if you sign off your company at the beginning, God will not support you when you want to collect it back by force. When do people lose their birthrights? When they are hungry. When the business is just starting and they need money. Should you collect people, allow people to invest in your business? I'm not saying it's wrong. I think they should. No problem with it. But please, if it's based on vision and a goal, controlling shares must be yours eternally. If I say this, you surprise you. I'm one person that doesn't believe it. Say, should I take my company public? For what? I said it's for charity work. You want everybody else to participate. Or God wants to bless you like he blessed Aliko Dangote. Fine. And the man was smart enough to sell only 30%. Because the man is not lying to report to you what he's doing. He will report and vote. He has 70. Do you know what I mean? 70% of the vote is one thumb. All of you, thousands of investors, put all your thumbs together is equal to the other 30%. So you can't change policy. You can't change MD. You can't change chairman. There's nothing you can do. What's my reason? Listen, if it's based on vision, if it's based on a calling, if it's something that you really want to do, like ministry, you can't afford to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry have a say. You just can't afford it. You won't go anywhere. Go and ask Richard Branson. He went public, he came out from the public domain. Mary Kay, she went public, she came out from the public domain. Check the three American, automakers, the big three, the Detroit three. The most balanced of them, I think, is Ford. Is the one that remains a private company. GM. GM is public company number one. And is the most unstable company in the world currently financially. Is the one that needs a bailout more than Chrysler and Ford. Ford, really. If you go, when they were analyzing, Ford was not actually planning to spend the money, just wanted to have it available. It's a private company. GM, listen, as a public company, GM had to go and borrow money from a bank to pay dividends. I don't know whether you hear what I said. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes, it's so stupid that you can't hear it. GM borrowed money from banks to pay dividends. You are supposed to pay dividends on profit. No, be so. No, they didn't make any profit. They made losses. In the center of their loss, they went into a bank, borrowed money, and paid dividends. Why? They're supposed to be a blue chip company. Retirement money was there. You know, people's retirement money was invested in GM. So GM had to give them money to keep living, thereby making the company more precariously balanced, pushing them further into debt. There's a scripture for it. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. In fact, Warren Buffett hates new investors. He hates his investors selling their shares. He said, who wants to be changing business partner every day? That's his logic. Then why should I change my business partner every day? So he doesn't like his investors selling shares at all. Because you have another person who doesn't understand what we are doing, you have to start trying to win you over. But for those of us who are starting this, what I'm going to say is that it's when people are hungriest that they lose their birthright. Are you getting my point? Don't forget something. I started this because you're a Christian. I started by saying that there's nothing you want to do that God didn't start. Therefore, it can't die. Look, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. There is a force that is sustaining you. Let Satan know that every day. When he wants to take what is yours, don't agree. Because he thinks you will die. No, he makes you think you are going to die. That's why Esau sold his birthright. He said, after all, what use is this birthright to me if I'm dead? So he sold the birthright for what? A morsel of bread, porridge, you know, one meat, according to the Bible. They gave him a mess of beans. Jacob had been eyeing the thing bad. Ah, rich men, that's what they do. When companies are in distress, that's when they bring money. Take. They buy it up. Buy it. That's their job. That's how some people make money. It's not an evil thing. It's the Esau that sold it that's as false. It's not the Jacob that bought it. Are you getting my point? When you become rich, you too have money handy. When you see a man that God wants to dispossess of his inheritance, be there to collect it. Okay, you don't know what I'm saying. Be there to collect it. Just make sure you are not the one that's selling his inheritance. That's the point I'm making. One way by which you will prevent that from happening to you, look, because I said, remember I told you something about Barack Obama? Is how you start that you will finish. If at the beginning you are the type that make every Tom, Dick, and Harry put money, dispossess you of your controlling power, later when you are big, you will still do the same thing. As a small politician, Barack Obama did not agree to take money from everybody, and big money, especially. When he was running for the office of president, he maintained the thing. You're a big company, don't give us money. There was a maximum amount of money he took from companies, maximum he took from individuals, and everybody could see who was giving him money. He turned out at the end of the day, he raised more money than everybody else. Because he's a tech guy, a sharp guy technologically. The guy launched into raising money from the internet. I don't know which one is correct. Either he had 1 million or 4 million people working for him. Anyway, there were 4 or 7 million people on the mailing list. He had an arm that is people campaigning for Obama. This one where he win is the winning of David. You know the way David became king? It's the same way he won the presidency. Everybody was coming and submitting their services to him. My friend told me something. Were you the one, Chicky, or somebody was telling me that he called somebody in the U.S.? Then the person on the phone, then somebody knocked on that fellow's door. And the fellow, you know, like, please give me a second, let me answer the bell. He went, and he came back to the phone and said it was one of Obama's volunteers coming to remind him to come and vote. 1 million people who he doesn't know. They were going house to house. Because America has a population of 250 million to 260 million people. So one person just needs to tackle 200 people and the whole of America is covered. Oh, forget, it's not even 200 people because not all of them are voting. 260 million, we are saying, a lot of them are below the age of 16 to 18. So they can't vote. It made it very easy for the man to win. Once he defeated Hillary Clinton, that he beat McCain was a long forgotten story. I told the story again to bring something out. From the beginning, he made up his mind what he would not do and what he would do. Are you getting my point? When you are doing business too, the same thing. From the beginning, make up your mind what you won't do and what you will not do. And I'm telling you from the beginning, the best way to raise money is to take the 2 naira in your pocket and learn to use it appropriately. Do you get my point? Listen, don't go and get... Look, big men are terrible in quotes. You know what I mean? Terrible. They will buy up your birthright. I'm telling you. And it's not an evil thing. God is using them to test you whether you are an Esau. How many of you watch Dragon's Den? Dragon's Den. You see, John Momo. He's sitting down there. He will come and worship her. sitting down there. The number of people sitting down there, they have millions to invest in your business. You will come, stand there, tell a long story, talk. After you've given them your business plan, everything, when they finally agree to invest money, that next thing they do is that, how much are you giving us? What percentage of the business? They negotiate for things like, so your mom will tell you that, okay, I'll put in 2 million, I take 20%. Another person says, okay, I'll put in 3 million. And they'll be talking, and then the most people who get money live there with less than 40% of the companies in their pocket. And I shake my head at it, foolishness. All of you are just coming here to sell your birthright. Those guys are Jacobs. All the Esau's queue up. Blow away their birthright. Hi! I look at it, I say, forget. I don't need your 10 million naira. I will grow my 10 million naira. Hey, those who are not evil people, they are good people. Those are the Jacobs of life. Those who have God's blessing. God has put them there to be collecting inheritances left and right from those who don't understand the value thereof. They are good people. But I told my wife, I said, if not me, I step up there, no matter the story. Once you cross 49%, I'm going home. And they'll say, why? I said, the reason is simple. This is my idea. I'm selling it to nobody. Cross 49, I'm going. Even if I come there, really need your money. No matter what you put, it's 49. Max, that's what I'm giving you. You know why? Because one day, if you annoy me too much, I will hold a board meeting and pay you money for the 49% kick you out. It's my best right. I'm allowed to do it. When you want to take me off the direction of my goal and my ministry, I will refuse. Oh boy, once you contribute more than, once you hold more than 51%, you can't do anything. No. You can't. The man has the right. It's his company now. I used to tell one of my friends there. He said, look, it's because companies don't go public. That's why Nigeria is not developing. I said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. It's not because people don't go public. I said, look, if you are not ready to answer to everybody, then don't go and steal their money. You didn't know that Dangote, a very smart guy. He's been doing his business for a very long time. He's not planning to give the control over to you at all. Therefore, he sells 30%. And every Nigerian bought the 30%, and the man became so rich. He paid all the money he was owing. Believe me, the company is not worth anything near what people paid for it. What am I teaching? For me, I believe you have too much around you. You hear what I said? You have too much around you. You have enough to use to start. What business do you want to start that we cannot sit down and work out how you will not sell your best right? There are some things you have clients. Talk to the clients. Persuade him to give you just enough money to cover your costs. Why should he do that? That's another thing. Why should he do that? Other people are charging me 100,000 naira. And here you are. You are ready to charge him only 70,000. As long as he puts 50,000 naira down first. Now, the guy will consider it. Believe me, he will consider it. At the beginning, work on commission for goodness sake. Pay all of this. I take 15% at the end of the day as profit. The little way, look, this man, what's his name? Peter Daniels. There was something he said in one of his teachings. He said that, he was talking about how to negotiate, the power of negotiation. So when they put out an advert, there's a job he needed done, so he put out an advert that people should bid for it and all of that. So people bidded, and when he selected the best people who bidded, the best quote he had was for $100,000. So he called the man up and said, I've seen your stuff, I've seen everything. I think $100,000 is not bad, and I think you'll be able to do the work, so I want to give you the job. He said, but, I said, wait. How will you feel if I told you I gave it to somebody else who agreed to do it for 90,000? Said the man thought for a while and said, are you saying that if I accept $90,000, I'll get the job? The guy said, guaranteed. That guy said, all right, 90,000. That's like he saved $10,000 instantly, few minutes talk on the phone. So I told the man, all right, come to my office tomorrow, we'll sign the papers, and then you can begin the job. Before the man arrived, he went to the bank, drew $80,000 in cash, crisp notes, put it together on his table, and waited for the man to arrive. When the man arrived, they went to sit on his relaxing chairs. He made sure the money was in sight. So when the guys were chatting, he said, as they were chatting, you see the guy's eye go there. The young man's eyes will go to that side. They kept chatting. The guy's eye went there. After a while, he said to put the man out of his misery. He said, wait, are you wondering what that is? The guy said, yes, that's actually is $80,000 in cash. I said, well, if you want the money, no problem. I'll put that money in a bag for you. You go away with it if you agree to do the job for $80,000. So the guy said, moment. He turned around, did some calculations, calculated, and he said, yeah, now bring up. The man went, collected the money, put it in a bag, gave it to the guy. He said, do you know why the guy accepted $80,000? Listen, in our American system, they do a lot of credit, and we'll discuss that a bit so that you will understand why they do it, all right? Credit has been misused, so you now know what, should we borrow, should we borrow? And by the way, the scripture that says, owe no man anything but to love. Please read it in context. It didn't say you shouldn't borrow money. Give honor to whom honor is due. So don't make sure you give honor to whom honor is due. Therefore, owe no man honor that you are supposed to honor. If you see your senior on the road, don't owe him a greeting. Do you get my point? Don't just walk past. You pause. Good morning, sir. That way you are out of the debt that you didn't greet him that morning. If you have a father at home, Christmas passed. The man didn't feel anything from your side. You are owing. I hope you calculated the interest. This is we're almost in February. So calculate the interest and send it. That's what it means by owe no man. You get what I'm saying? There are people you owe. He wasn't saying that. Because listen, you are owed. If you pay rent at the end of the month, you're always owing your landlord 1 month. I hope you know that. If Cosmo owes us before we pay, we owe them. So that's not what he's saying at all. Are you getting the point? Uh-huh. So I'll discuss that. So let me get back to the story I was telling you. So the man said that, what was the issue? Why did that guy accept $80,000 down from 90? It was a simple thing. Because you operate a credit society. If you go to the internet, if you open your Yahoo box, you'll see a lot of it. They advertise furniture. You don't have to pay anything, no interest for the next 2 years. No down payment, zero interest. You don't have to start paying till 2010. You've seen those things on the internet. You've seen it on newspaper, their magazines and all of that. Let me ask you a question. The man who say, don't pay me for the next 2 years and I won't charge you any interest for 2 years, is he a fool? What does that tell you? That money you are paying includes all the interest for 2 years, includes all profits for tying down his capital for 2 years. Everything is in there. All that one of zero interest is a lie. He's teaching the sharp guys that if you want it cheaper, pay me cash. Those who don't know can pay cash and not take advantage of the fact that they have cash, because cash is supposed to give you power. So what this man was saying is that, in effect, listen, this man would have had to, maybe as he wanted to build something, maybe a small house, he would have had to go and collect wood on credit, cement on credit, do everything on credit, and then pay the workmen. Of course, this one you pay them fairly on time, all right? But at the end of the week and all of that. He said, but having cash meant that he will walk over to the shop, negotiate for the wood. And he said, okay, you're going to pay us $5,000. And he said, no, the best I pay is $3,500. Because the man who's asking for $5,000 does not expect to finish getting his money until December. So when you tell him, no, I'm giving the money now. He said, are you serious? You dip it in your pocket. You flash the cash in his face. Price jumps down. Boom. In their society, that's the way it is. Because they did so much on credit that they've worked all of that into the cost. So you can cut down prices when you come up with cash. That's what he was saying. So the man calculated it and realized that he's going to do a quicker job and still make his decent profit if he accepted $80,000 by paying all his own suppliers in cash. Because as he's dropping from 90 to 80, so are they also willing to drop once he shows up with money. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Look, those are the little wisdoms you use when you want to do something and you don't have too much money. You walk up to the man, okay, I will do it for lower than what other people are doing it. All I'm asking for is that you pay me half of the money now. Please, let me go back to this again. I told that there's nothing like a Christian business by El Shaddai Incorporated. There's nothing like that. If I'm the Oga of CAC, any Christian that shows up, that's Corporate Affairs Commission, with all those biblical names, I will call him personally and say, stop embarrassing us. All right, remove those your godly names. What we need is a company that has reputation. Do you get my point? What did I say? A company that has reputation. What I mean is this. If somebody gives you 50% of money up front and you say you will deliver, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, do what? Deliver. You get the point? Please, though, I told you that everything has what? Value. That when Oceanic Bank shares was going for 25 naira, 28 naira, those who had money bought. Now it is going for 8 naira. Those who have faith, they buy. Do you get my point? That is, the 20 naira difference is valued as what? Faith. So for every unit you buy, you are using 20 naira in faith, 8 naira in cash. There's a reason why I said that. The money you don't have, you use integrity and honesty and skill. Do you follow my point? To buy things. If somebody tells you, look, if you maybe want to do business as a businessman, and someone tells you, look, see that guy, and whatever he says, take it for granted it is done. You will give him your money. You get what I'm saying? So if you are the one that wants to accept people's money without delivering goods, one thing you must build up over time is what? A track record of what? Honesty. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that better than money is a what? A good name. Nobody's lending you money. Nobody needs to lend you a good name. Are you getting my point? Nobody needs to lend you a good name. What am I discussing? How do you raise money to start your business? That's how you do it. You don't need plenty of money. You don't need it. The man I told you about at the beginning, I told my wife, this is the advice you give him. Tell him you don't need all of these things. Just go to people. Like now, instead of buying machinery worth maybe 200,000 naira, rent for 2,000 naira. Or the product you claim you want to market, all right? Repackage and market. People are already manufacturing it. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Go to them, buy from them first. And then make sure you actually have the market and the ability. Let me tell you another thing. Oh God, please listen to this very well. The Bible said, those who by reason of use, you know, we read that one. Whatever you have not used yourself in, you get my point? What you have not practiced, don't deceive yourself that you can do it. Because of the kind of business my wife does, you know, she meets a lot of people and all of that. One day she said, they offered her a contract somewhere. There's one new hotel in town, and they want to kit their staff, you know, uniform and all of that, and describe is that. So the man who runs the place said whether she can supply them the uniform and everything. So she was excited and she told me about it. She just told me, just told my face, said, why? I said, when did you become a tailor? I said, listen, the rule does not change just because the business is big. I said, the rule is simple. This is Pastor Banky's rule of spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategy. Another strategy. The business you don't know about, don't do it except you are ready to learn it. I hope you've written that one down before. Any business you don't know very well, don't do it except you are ready to what? Learn. Because they will sell your trouser before they leave you alone if you try that. No matter how simple it looks on the surface, don't be tempted. The business you don't know, don't do except you are ready to do what? Learn. If you are not, don't. What am I ready to learn? Ready to learn means that you will take time out. If you lose money now, you won't run. That's part. I told you everything has value. The money you lost now, you use it to buy a lesson. Did you hear what I said? The money you lost now, you use it to do what? You use it to buy a lesson. So you haven't really lost anything. My favorite example, many years ago, a friend of mine said, Banky, let's buy a car. I said, what do we need one for? We have the ones we are driving. He said, no, it's a Lexus. I said, buy a Lexus. He said, it's going for only 300,000 naira. I said, what are we going to do with it? He said, we won't drive it. We will sell it. I said, no problem. This is Dr. So-and-so-and-so number. He's a car dealer. Call him. Talk to him. He said, you're not interested? I said, no, I'm not interested. I am not interested at all. Truly, that car that time, the value was like 2 million naira if it was a fresh Tokumbo. Maybe used in Nigeria a bit, dropped to like 1.5, 1.2. All right? Someone selling for 300,000 naira. If you rock it off cheap, maybe you sell it for 600,000 naira, you make money. Sounds very simple. Why didn't you ask yourself, why didn't he sell it for 600,000 naira? Why is he selling it for 300,000. Do I know the answer? No, and I don't care. You know why I don't know the answer anyway? It's because it's not my business. It's not the business that I do. And I'm not willing to learn to trade in cars, therefore I won't even, I just don't, look, go and meet that person. When my wife mentioned it to me that day, I said, such things, you know what they do? She said, what? I mentioned two people's names that we know that are so close for people. I said, call them. And you know, like I always say, you are not the only one God wants to bless. They may have offered you that job because God wants to send it to those two other people. I told my wife simply, call one of them, say, you, come. I know you used to do business like this. He says, yes, say, follow me. Let me link you up to a business. I'm not guaranteeing anything. They offered it to me. I don't know about it. I know there's something that's very common in Enugu. Everybody wants a cut. You don't need a cut. It's not your business. You don't need a cut. It is not your business. Link the people and walk away. Listen, that car thing, let me give an illustration. One day, I went to Lagos. I went to buy a car. That was then for my dad. So, the guy who I was buying the car from, he drove up a car. He said, Banky, may I dash you this car? I said, yeah, make me an offer now. He said, 400,000. A Honda Hala, Honda Hala. You know what they call Honda Hala? I said, 400,000 naira. He said, yes. Give me 400K. The car is yours. There is one guy who just drove it in from Cotonou, you know, one of these maybe customs men and all that. So he registered it, but he wants to sell the car. You know, my mouth watered. Though I am not a Japanese man, but 400,000 for this car. That time, man, I knew that the car was actually one of my colleagues that does that business sold one a few weeks before for 700,000. So I said, are you serious? He said, yes, 400,000, the car is yours. Although I didn't have 400K, but I was interested. This was many years ago in the business. Even though I knew my rule, the business you don't know, don't do. I said, you are ready to learn. But that one, it was not a big deal anyway because I didn't invest money in anything. I just said, why are you saying 400,000? Let me drive you back home now. I'll give it to one of my guys. He'll sell it. You make a higher amount of money. He said, just give me my 400K. I said, no problem. So he gave me the car, gave me the papers. This was in Lagos. Boom! Ignited the car. Instead of coming back the way I went to Lagos by bus, I drove a Honda all the way from Lagos to Enugu. So I took it to the office one day. I drove the car around town for about 2 weeks or so before I went back to Lagos. Which was actually a blessing. God used that car to bless me. Though I returned it to the owner. Let me tell you what happened. Now, just to illustrate what I'm saying. I parked the car, so I told my colleague that, look, there's one Honda Hala, one of my friends wants to sell, and it's going very cheap, so you should just sell it, and then bring the money, I give the owner the 400K, me and him will share the balance on top of it. He said, no problem. So that day I drove the car to work. I said, it's a fresh token, but that they just did for a few days in Lagos. I told the story that idiot told me. Why? Because I don't know anything about it. So, as soon as he, being an experienced car dealer, now one day I parked and I saw him upstairs. I said, oh, the car is downstairs. He just came out. No. He was waiting when I drove in. He saw the car, saw the plate number. As soon as I came upstairs, he said, oh, God, this car was registered 2 years ago. One glance. He said, that's an Ikeja number. We stopped using that plate. He gave me the... You know, this is his business. He just looked at the number. He said, that plate is 2 years old. I said, eh. Daddy car. Well, he looked at it. Not bad. But it's not worth more than that 400,000. He said, oh, guys, not a good. He said, it's not a good car. He looked at it around, kicked this place, showed me one or two things. He said, oh, God, forget the car. He said, 400K. You want to drive it? That if I want to drive it and I want to pay 400,000 for it, that it's not bad. But anything more than that, I should forget it. Because it's a business he knew. That was why, before then, when they say, because I learned the lesson long ago. That's why that one I wasn't going to put my money. Just because, let me just drive it. And then, when he finished the whole story, I said, no wahala. When next I was going to Lagos, I started the car again, zoom, and drove it back to Lagos. And the good Lord ensured that car didn't even leave me stranded somewhere near Ore. Because at Ore, something spoiled in the car, I did not know. I powered that car to Lagos with my battery, I did not know. The alternator wasn't working. It was next morning I started the car. The car refused to move. I found out that the alternator died long ago. The battery finally died in the morning after I slept overnight in Lagos. Now I gave the guy back his keys. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you. You and your Honda Hala. Go. That's when the guy started telling the story. The story changed. Cut a long story short. It was not a fresh token, but nothing. He wanted to fling the car on a mugun like me. And because I wasn't really willing to invest in the business, that was why God delivered me. Listen, don't ever forget that thing. Because, you see, temptations are tempting. Please, turn to somebody. Tell the person that's why it's called a temptation. They are tempting. As long as you live here tomorrow morning, watch, they will bring a business for you. You say, 10 trips of sand. Only 30,000. What you don't know is that, number one, it's not much more expensive in town, because to you, when you see trucks passing 10 times, you think it must be 1 million. Don't worry. That's why 419 people catch people. Temptations are tempting. One rule is simple. Any business you don't know, please don't do it except you are ready to learn. Next one, even when you are ready to learn, make sure you start small. You don't start with your whole life. Very important. Even when you are ready to learn, make sure you do what? You start small. Even if it looks nice and lucrative, make sure you start small. Don't maintain a heavy inventory on things you don't know about. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is why each person must develop the area of his skill. You know, one of my friends in the Lord, one day he wrote a book, or I sent the book to me to help him read and all of that. He gave me a lot of corrections. After he wrote the book, he bought a book on publishing. And then one day he sent me a text. He said, "Sir, I bought a book on publishing. And I must confess, I think you're a genius." You hear what I said? He told me things I'm a genius. I told him, "Why won't I be a genius?" You know what I mean? Because, funny enough, you know, I never read any book on publishing. So, why did I know about publishing? Number one, because I've been writing books for a long time. Started printing, publishing and printing them a few years ago. Because of any time I pick a book. One day my wife was in Benin. She went into the market in Benin. She went into a bank. So I was waiting where I parked. By the time she came out, she saw I bought a book. One man was hawking books up and down the road, so I bought the book. She picked up the book. She said, "I know you don't want to read this book. I know you bought it because of the printing and the binding." I said, "Thou hast well spoken. Till today, I have not..." You know the kind of books your husband reads or your wife reads? You know, this kind of forgetting your past, how to leave the past behind and go forward. She knows that I don't read. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. If you have past to forget, go ahead. But I think I forgot mine long ago. I can't forget the work I've done for the Lord in the last few years. Do you know what I'm saying? So she saw the book and said, no. This man, I know him. And because she noticed that, that's how, if you give me a book, those days, I'm cooler now. First thing I do is pick it up. Check the back. Turn it around. Check the binding. This is wax. This stitch it, you know. Look, by giving me a book, I can tell you this was printed in Nigeria. It was printed in Belarus. In fact, that Belarus one, I don't miss it. I just look at the pages and look at the binding. I say, this one's from Print Corp, Belarus. This is Nigerian print. I said, no, the only book. He said, it's from Nigeria. I said, no, only Academic Press does this. And get my point, I get it 9 times out of 10. Does this? Anytime I pick a book, that is, I'll pull it, I've checked. No, it's reflexo. Said the paper, no, Nigerians, we don't use this paper to print. Only Bishop Oyedepo does this one in Nigeria. I don't even know where he prints, whether he uses his press. That is, it's instinctive. People are buying magazines, say, Oprah, my owner have picked counted the number of pages. Checked, is it full gloss? Is it full cover laminated? Those are the things that I check. Why? Because of ministry. You understand my point? Over time, so now I can value a book. The cost of printing. I pick a book. I say, how much? They are printing this one for you. I say, 300 naira a copy. For how many? For 1,000. I said, the guy is a thief. I instantly give you, look, go back, tell him this. Tell him you will pay this, but you will pay this amount if he does the amount of... How do I know? Because when I go to the press, I will sit down, we discuss. Tell me how to count, you know. We start from A4, A1, fold it twice, it becomes A2, fold it one more time, A3. I know how they do all those things. So when a young friend of mine wanted to write a book, he will call me, I'll tell him, just, you know, be telling things off the cuff like that. So when he now bought a book on publishing and printing, everything he read there, he found out that I'd already told him. So he said that this guy must be a genius. I'm not a genius, nothing. It is just that this is my, what? Business. Therefore, I have become skilled in it. Do you follow my point? Other things, I don't know. Therefore, I don't dabble into. Listen, you keep learning. That's why I said that any business you don't know, please don't do. Except your plan is what? To learn. And even when you are ready to learn, you must, as a rule, start small. Let me end with this because I want to close now. Let's take a few questions and then we'll go. Don't forget this one. If I will take up the 15 minutes on this. I said something before. This is very important. Genesis chapter 1. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, and have what? Dominion. Whatever you want to do in life, your plan must be what? Your ultimate vision must be what? Dominion. Your ultimate vision must be dominion. Let me tell you how Satan's disciples behave. Once this business is big enough, I buy some shares, I lock it there, I buy land, I do this, at least I'm secure for the rest of my days. Because of only you, stock market will collapse, land price will collapse, community will revoke their land, that is, government will revoke land because of only you, if you do that as a child of God. The Bible says concerning the kingdom of God, it says what? Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. You must never, ever, ever plan to put an end to your increase. Develop that mentality from the beginning. You started with a primary school. Even if God says your vision is primary school, then that primary school must keep enlarging, enlarging, enlarging. One in Enugu, one in Abakaliki, or two in Enugu. What's wrong with three in Enugu? One in Abakaliki, one down to Nsukka, Ojiriba, Oka. Keep going, keep going, keep going. If God doesn't cap you at primary school, then as they are leaving, push them into your secondary school. Maybe along the line, we'll talk about the fear of death. The fear of death is the reason why people don't increase. They feel like we don't balance now. Because when you are going to leap to the next level, it will appear like you are going to die. Let me give it to you now. Remember to tell yourself, if I perish, I perish. It's a safer way to live. Do you understand? Than trying not to perish. And according to Helen Keller said, those who face the danger like that, ultimately they are not at a greater risk than those who hide away from it. No, in fact, the way she says it is the other way around. She said, those who avoid danger, ultimately they are not safer than those who just face it head on. And there's something about prosperity in life. It's a spiritual thing. You lose material things to come back. And if you handle it with thanksgiving, it comes back double. You hear what I said? You lose material things, what happens? It comes back. You handle it properly, it comes back what? Double. You really don't lose anything in life. Material things. The only people that lose material things permanently are those who are cursed by God. And even though they try to hold it, they will still lose it anyway. What am I going to say? You must plan for increase. You must plan for excellence. The issue of excellence and skill and all that, we'll discuss that one maybe next weekend, all right? Let me just stop on this one. You must plan for increase. Next week I'll talk about integrity, excellence, how these things work in practical terms. That's when we'll talk about how to take loss. Sometimes you do things, you lose money, close your eyes, take the loss and keep on moving. But the one I want to say right now is that you must plan for what? Increase. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. One day I went somewhere, I wanted to give a friend of mine, let me just color it a bit. Let's assume that I saw a man preaching, all right? And I didn't like the way he was dressed. And I said that, okay, let me buy him some clothes. So I said, okay. How much do they cost? You know, instantly. The guy just told me, that's there and then. For this, to cause this. This one is to cause this. It just gave me a rapid breakdown, gave me the total cost on the spot. If I call somebody, give me that book. Open this, show me the whole thing. Good enough, I had money. I said, okay, come, let us go. Walked over to an ATM, drew the money, and gave it to me. Okay, now effect it. Before the end of that day, it was done. What am I going to say? Did he have the money? No. But in his mind, he had received the breakthrough. In his mind, he had planned for it. He said, if this were to happen, this will happen. This will happen. This is what we are going to do. So when I just came up and the Spirit of God moved me, said, Banky, meet this need. He didn't even tell me there was a need. I just observed it. It's like somebody walking up here and say, ah, Pastor, please, how much will it cost to do this backdrop? And there was none then. And I just said, hey, please, give me that sheet of paper. And I just gave the person a quick breakdown. That was the same thing they did to me. This is the interesting thing. I ended up paying double what I had planned for. Because the whole thing was so well set out that I didn't know how to break it halfway. I don't know what I get on. If like, say, you buy a person's shirt, you know, put trousers, put, and the guy is naked. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? It was that kind of thing. So I just had to struggle personally and add the rest of the money and just made the thing complete. What am I saying? You must enlarge first where? In your mind. And I'll give you one practical way to enlarge. Before I give you the practical way, how many of you ever read this book? Richest Man in Babylon. The man Akkad planned, he wanted to be rich, so somebody, a man taught him how to be. But how did he become very rich? The man that taught him eventually employed him because he saw his skill. And then, when the man died, he left a chunk of his estate to him as an inheritance. Are you getting my point? Why did the man become rich? Was it because he was lucky just like that and somebody gave him the inheritance? No. It was because in his heart, he had planned for riches and he had exercised himself. So when that man saw him, he therefore gave him the opportunity. And I told you in life, you also will be lucky. You know that our word luck is our way of expressing the true word is actually blessed. You also will be blessed. Blessing means that something bigger than what you have planned for will one day come upon you. But you must plan for something. Are you getting my point? I am not saying that this is how you will reach the ultimate in life. Listen to me. One day, one bank will pursue you and beg you with a loan that is too good to refuse, in which God will commit them to help you. Thank you very much. The man is saying the amen. It will happen. But before you get there, this is what I want to say. There's a tip I gave to my wife in, I still remember when she started doing business. It was after she resigned from her work and was just taking care of her boy at home. Somebody said that, how's madam? Say she's fine. Where does she work? Say, I went to the bank. I don't see her there anymore. I said, well, she doesn't work there anymore. Where does she work now? I said, well, she works at home. She takes care of me and my son. And I said, good. I'm sure she would like to do Mary Kay cosmetics business. I said, oh, selling? She said, I said, my wife would like that. And that's how she started doing business. But I can assure you that her asset and capital business, everything, how do they put it now, put together, since that time must have gone up, I was going to say more than tenfold. I actually meant to say more than 30-fold. And I can't remember anywhere along the line that there was another injection of capital. How did it happen? I'll tell you. Of course, number one is that, like I told you, learn to abyss. So at the beginning, I wasn't eating the money from her sales, neither was she eating it. Do you follow what I'm saying? And it's that principle I thought I want to teach you now. That the rule. This was what I told her. Seed for the sower and bread for food. Can you remember that? I said, one, you do your accounts regularly and from your profit, you break the money into three things. One, you sow spiritual seeds. Two, you take bread for food. But three, and most importantly, that always took half. You sow what? Physical seed. You put it back into the business. Warren Buffett did that over years. And one day became the richest man in the world. This is the principle of increase. Every seed bears what? Fruit. And every fruit has what? Seed in itself. That's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1. Every seed does what? Bears fruit. And every fruit has what? Seed in itself. This is how you multiply. You plant the seed, it bears fruit. Then you take the fruit, take seed out of the fruit, and do what? And plant it again. The problem with people is what the Bible calls the complacency of fools. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Every time, since using my wife as an example, in fact, I've told her several times, where you are going to, what you really want to do in life, you haven't started it yet. It's not just to fill the time. I have blessed her with a blessing, which is so great that even me, I'm humbled. I respect the manifestation of it when it will come. No, you know, I've told you that one day somebody, look, I know this one for sure. One day my wife will say, my husband, your birthday is next week. We don't do accounts. I think let's buy you a Lamborghini. Though I don't like Lamborghinis, that's just to talk. I don't like sports cars generally. I don't know where I'm running to. What I like is what? Luxury. They don't like. You know, sports cars, have you ever sat on the seat of a sports car? It's hard. They make it very, very stiff. You know, it's supposed to keep you upright and, you know, agile. I don't want you to sleep off. I don't like that. I like what? Luxury. You know what I mean? I'm not running anywhere. I'm not in a hurry. But anyway, I believe that very strongly. One day I read the story of one Mary Kay lady in America. She bought a brand new car for her husband on his birthday because of the check he gave her at the beginning to start the business. Do you understand my point? So I know that one for sure. So my wife will just look on and say, husband, next week is your birthday. I think we just give him that day. Just in the morning, just hear, pam, pam, pam. I will look outside. You see one monstrosity tagged with balloons, flying happy birthday pastor on top of it to my pastor and husband. And it will not be from family finances. It will be that her business signed a check and paid somebody and they dropped the car in my house. Do you get my point? Yeah, no, I believe in such things. I can take it for granted. In this life, I can never be poor. I can never be average. I have blessed too many people. Do you understand my point? One day, because of you, I'll go and move to a big house with big compound. He said, pastor, what are you doing? I said, can't you see the cars? They are dashing me. Where do we park it? So that one is for sure. All right? But okay. Now, so I believe that very strongly. But the point I'm making is that I know he's going to get there. But this principle, I believe it works very well. You receive money, it goes into three groups. Especially when you are starting, the one that is smallest of all must be bread for food. You know, we started that, we explained that one at the beginning. Don't forget that. Don't put pressure on your business at the beginning. Anyway, I don't want to go over it. Learn how to abase. Do you understand my point? Yes. A time will come. The Bible says when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You will know when the crop permits. Until then, sow seeds essentially. It's very important. We'll discuss that. Well, it's not. Go and listen to our series on what they call Your Money. There we'll discuss how to sow spiritual seeds. I'm not going to discuss that in detail, but it's so important. All these great men you hear of this day in this world, they also do it. Warren Buffett, it's a major part of their work, doing charity work. You must sow spiritual seeds out of your fruit. Now, I talked about one word I just wanted to read. That's, where is it now? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. It said, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency. If you have a King James, you say prosperity. And the complacency of fools shall destroy them. You know what's complacency there? One Bible uses the word prosperity, and that one uses the word complacency. I studied the literal Hebrew actually says prosperity. But it meant one thing. That is when a man prospers and sits down. David said, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. I hope you get my point. That's what he's describing. That when a fool prospers to a level and feels he's secure and he does not have to go further, so that's what kills him. Do you understand the point? That is why in life, I have arrived must never come out of your mouth. In Jesus' name, it must never come out of your mouth. You're always on the journey. Until you die, you're arriving at nothing. Do you get my point? The day God gives you money and you've made a profit for the year and it's 1 billion naira, don't celebrate. You say, okay, so what next are we supposed to do? We have conquered the kingdom of maybe education. Now we want to conquer it further. We want to consolidate our victory. But the money is so plenty, that means there's something else that God wants us to do. You saw this man talking yesterday, Muhammad Yunus. He started with the Grameen Bank. along the line, the thing worked so well, they realized that people can help people with telephone. They started with their telephone, Grameen telephone again. From there, they went into supplying solar power, went into supplying water. In all of that, he just is always looking for one territory to conquer. I was reading his book this afternoon, and the man has such a good heart. He explained that he has seen that all this, that one day on TV he quarreled with the World Bank representative. That what nonsense. You guys say that you are spending money. For every $100 you spend, $75 is spent in your country paying consultants and surveyors and assessors and all of that. The 25% that gets to the country, you use it to pay contractors. So the poor people never get anything. Why he does everything he's doing is to make sure the poor people get something. Are you getting my point? What am I bringing up from there? Complacency, all right, of fools destroys them. What does that mean? You make a foolish man prosper small, then he's happy. That's why God will eventually destroy him. But the man who continues moving forward, listen, look, setback in economies will keep on happening. But there are men that never get poorer because of it. Are you getting my point? They sell back in the economy, they get richer. You know why? Because the Esau's will sell their birthright. Being a Jacob, he buys. When the economy prospers, everybody prospers. When it is set back again, he buys more. But such people, listen to me, what you must do is to constantly be on the cutting edge. You're always going forward. Are you getting my point? You are always going forward. Spiritual things, they are like that. You must constantly ride, otherwise you fall backwards. It's like climbing a hill on a bicycle. You stop pedaling, you start rolling backwards. Are you getting my point? Please, forget it from your brain. This issue that, what does a man want? What does a woman want in this life? You know what a man wants in this life? Should I tell you? Dominion. What did I say? Dominion. And until you achieve dominion, you can't rest. And after you have achieved dominion, you go to conquer another territory. Are you getting my point? You do what? You conquer another territory. That's divine assignment. It doesn't mean that you're looking for more money. There's so much that you can eat. In Nigeria of today, there's a certain amount of money you'll be given, and you have eaten, you have driven, you have lived in house, you've worn clothes. No, you know, no matter how much money you have, the best clothes you will still wear. Forget, it's not even Armani. And after how much is Armani? You pay $2,000, you have an Armani. By the time you have 20, you too, you'll be tired. Unless you have a mental problem. So it's not about what you will eat. By the time you have too much money, that's when you start watching your weight. I said, please, will you like a drink? You know, those are when we're very young. You give a man, serve him a bottle of malt. He said, no, please, let me have water. Water! God forbid. You go to a place, he said, will you like a Coke or water? I'm like, water. Water. Why should you offer me water? Coke or water? Now bring the Coke. And then one day we traveled. I think there was a... Anyway, we went to Benin, my wife, my friend. We went for a convention. But anyway, when there was a wedding or something in my in-law's house that day. So when we arrived, there was a celebration. So somebody came out to serve us. And my friend and I, Chooks and I, looked at each other and said, no, please, let me have water. Let me have water. And there was one younger brother with us. No, they have served us malt. Chooks and I looked the malt. See, I beg. I bring water with the food. So they wanted to remove the malt away. Then the bro said, no, leave him. he was a youth copper. So Chooks, my friend, and I, we looked at each other, eyed each other and said, man, he's still young. That was what we two would have done. So he devoured his malt and went into our own after. I said, oh, he's still a young man. The older you get, the less you need those things. It is when they offer you a drink. I said, no, forget the drink. Bring the water. So when you get very rich, what are you going to drink? That's how they make expensive wine. Not because they are better. Because to make the rich man pay for it. As a young growing man, don't ever drink expensive wine. You know why? There's nothing inside. You don't know. The wine of 400 naira a bottle. And the one of 7,000 naira a bottle. The difference is not more than 200 naira in real value. It's just that the rich man has to feel his drinking. Someone was telling me that some of these governors, when they are meeting, or when they Each bottle of wine goes for 100,000 naira. One bottle of wine. Even if it was pure alcohol, how much is it? They use them for my lab. We buy a whole gallon for 2,500 naira. Pure alcohol. A whole gallon. We use it in my lab. 2,500. So it can't be the alcohol. No big grape. They say you kept it in the cellar since 1932. So, has the Holy Spirit entered it now? Because, but each bottle, I'm serious, this guy's opened a bottle, 200,000 bucks. Do you know why? They have to feel like they are drinking. They can't drink malt. The doctor says it's bad for them. The man is diabetic now. He can't drink Fanta. And he has plenty of money. So, he decides to be drinking it. So, listen, my friend, in life, don't ever buy it. Believe me, this is the same thing. I was seeing art on TV the other day, one painting, 250,000 naira. There was one movie I saw many years ago, Thomas Crown Affair. They say a painting that was stolen was worth $100 million. At the end of the movie, when the girl was going to run away, she was talking to the policeman. The policeman looked like, what's my business? Because of a painting that's only valuable to a few silly, rich people. I never forgot those words. A few silly, rich people. A painting that measures 1.5 meter by 1 meter. $100 million. Policeman said, you're making my job to be chasing, looking for the thief. What I'm realizing in all of this is that, look, it's so easy to satisfy somebody. It's when people refuse to be satisfied, they start heaping value on things that really don't have value. But, so we're not talking about you becoming satisfied. That's not what we're discussing. We are talking about taking territories for God. I've left a number of things for you today. Business you don't know, don't do it except you're ready to learn. You get my point? You don't need to go around begging anybody. You have enough around you to start your own business. You get my point? What you need is what? Wisdom from above. What you need is wisdom. You will discover what... Go and listen to that message. Open my eyes, oh Lord. I'm giving you that as an instruction. It's part of the curriculum. Open my eyes, oh Lord. It's so important. What you need is wisdom. If God opens your eyes, you discover you don't need any, you don't need to sell your birthright. And I said, remember, you must win first in your mind. Are you getting my point? And then you plant your seed outside, no matter how little, and learn to plant the seed that's in the fruit. Do you get the point? Listen, let me tell you one more thing. Your case, you know I said at the beginning, there is a power that works towards those who believe. That you will continue to bear fruit and increase is because God is the one that is blessing you. Did I hear an amen? I'm not saying it's natural. Anybody who does this will succeed. I'm saying because you're a blessed person. We'll still discuss that. That is why, oh God, words. When Jesus spoke to a tree, the tree grew ears by force and committed suicide. The Lord looked and said, this tree, nobody will eat from you again. When we're talking about integrity, later we'll discuss that one. There's a way you build the power of righteousness in your soul. So much that when you speak, listen, what matters most is that spiritual force. Are you getting my point? Everything we have described is like telling you how to build a fan. You finish building it, there's no power. You know it's not going to move. That is why there's no substitute. As a believer, don't ever forget to talk to what is yours. Talk to your money. You have need in your business. It says how much? 150,000 naira. You check everything, it's 5,000 bucks. Take that 5,000 bucks, talk to it. Talk to the need. Talk to your business. Speak to your five loaves and two fish. Speak to it. The Bible says there is a power that works towards those who believe. Are you getting my point? When Jesus said this widow who gave two mites has given more than everybody else, he wasn't joking. Those two mites, planted properly, give it time. It will become something far bigger. He said the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Believe me, that seed is inside your heart right now and it is in your hands. Are you getting my point? Be careful. Don't just chop everything that comes your way. First of all, listen, create a vision. Are you getting my point? There must be a vision in your heart. I'm not saying that is what God will do for you finally, but that is what God has to go beyond, and that's where he starts from. I'll give you an assignment between now and next weekend. Ask yourself, what do I really want to do? Are you getting my point? Look, you don't have to build a Grameen bank. All right? I expect you to hold 110% of the shares of your own company. I didn't say you should go and do a social business. Do you follow my point? That was his ministry. That was his goal. I showed you that to you to let you know how people can walk in life and be relaxed about life. There's a book I read many years ago. I still have a copy. God Owns My Business. That's the name of the book. God Owns My Business. You know what the man did? Let's assume the name of the company is Delic, as an example. The man built Delic, and then one day he called lawyers and transferred the ownership of Delic to a non-profit organization that sponsors missions. That's what he did. So he now became an employee. Do you get my point? So I wrote a book on it, God Owns My Business. Now, please listen to this carefully, because I'm not trying to make light of it. I think it's a great thing for a man to do. But when I finished reading the book, I smiled to myself. I said, the salary you are now being paid now, who owns it? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You have built a business, you have given it over to a mission sponsorship agency. So all the money they make goes to the mission. And then he is now an employee. The president of the company is an employee. That is now impossible for him to even lay hold of the profit, except he has to buy it back or something, you know. They have to agree with the trustees. That's what trustees do. They now make decisions. Okay, there's a board of trustees and all of that. Now, you know the interesting part? I think everybody should be impressed. Don't you think so? But you know, I wasn't impressed. You know, I just was not impressed. Why I wasn't impressed is that the formal signing of paper hasn't really changed what I would like to do. I don't know whether you get my point. If I wanted to sponsor a mission, do you get my point? I can personally decide to do that. My wife does that. There's a proportion of the profit she makes from this her business that is nobody can touch it. Nobody on earth. That's what it is used for. Nothing more than that. So I told myself, I said, this one writing a book on how you transfer ownership of your business to a trust, to a board of trustees that's sponsored. To me, I kind of wasn't so impressed. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a very good thing. But for me, I felt like this is supposed to be the life of every believer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everything you own is supposed to be God's property. Listen, it is not only missions that God is sponsoring. Do you understand my point? That is why it is not only missions you will give all your profit to. RJ Letourneau, the man who invented earth-moving equipment, sold the company and gave all the money out to mission. It's not a new thing. You know, people do it. The man was so good, when he sold the company, I don't know who to, he had to sign an agreement with the people he sold the company to that he will not design anything for 5 years. He had to sign an agreement with them that he won't design anything for 5 years. Because the man was so good. He's a self-taught engineer. If you watch Discovery or National Geographic, you see this machine they call LT-1000. Do you ever watch Jackie Chan in one particular movie where one big vehicle was rolling over houses? Those are the engines. No, engines so big that a man used a ladder to climb to the driver's seat. You literally climb. They are bigger than, each one is about the size of our typical story building. Each tire is currently sold. One tire is sold for $50,000. I didn't say the car. I didn't say the truck. What did I say? One tire. The man designed those things. Finally, one day he got tired. He sold the company and gave every dollar that he made from it out to mission work. What I'm trying to say is that, see, each Christian, listen to this. Somebody said, who owns a Grameen bank and Grameen phone? None of my business. But your business must be owned by who? By God. All right? You holding all the stock, you are just a custodian. Do you get my point? One man decided to tie himself down with legal documents. Very fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's a very good thing. But I just wasn't impressed. I just felt that, look, this is what all of us should do. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. But because it is not only missions that God sponsors. Do you understand my point? Therefore, you use your money to do everything that you know God wants to do. Which includes what? Dominion. What did I say? Dominion. Don't ever be... Look, you have one shop in Ogbete today. I see you in 5 years' time. It must be 10 or 20. Or you have erected one giant mall somewhere, the center of Independence layout, and there's a branch already in Abakaliki. And you're already discussing with Walmart what you guys can do together in this region. And why not? Last time I heard you were in Abuja, checking what you guys can do there. Don't say, at least this shop can pay my children's school fees. May God not command the shop from your hand. Amen? I hope you've gotten my point. I hope I've made my points today. Have you learned anything? I'm not giving you details on how to buy stock or sell it. I don't know how to. But get the right thought pattern into your heart. And those other things will come out of you naturally. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.
So, this is for probably my benefit and for maybe anybody else that runs a business. Many times, small businesses encounter challenges. And if you're a business owner with a heart, maybe your business is in a recession or a depression of some sort. Okay? You're trying to maybe manage costs. Maybe you're thinking of laying off staff and stuff like that. It kind of bothers me sometimes, maybe when... you're not making enough money to pay staff and all that kind of stuff. Do you lay them off? And how do you manage that situation? It's a good... regular business people say, pursue everybody.
Okay.
Buy enough machines to take care of people. But you kind of feel guilty. These guys didn't contribute to your loss or something like that.
Yes. All right. Is there any other question? Okay. Let me just answer that one. All right? If there's another one. Now... first of all, I am not going to try and give specific answers. You understand that, all right? Because there are different situations in different places. What I try to do is to get a right spirit. And when you have the right spirit, you will do the right things. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying it is wrong to lay off staff. I can't say that. It's not possible. If you can't pay somebody, the honorable thing to do is to tell the person, I can't pay. You understand? Now, what I described before, which some people just threw off staff anyhow, is just because you want to have more money available to dash maybe the shareholders or, you know, make the accounting firm happy. That's what I think is a bit cruel. You understand my point? It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like you said, it's not the person's fault that things have turned the way they are. And then don't ever forget. You know what some of these companies do? They have last in, first to go. That's what they do. The logic behind it is that those who have contributed the most over the years, well, I don't know what their logic, but that's what I think, are the ones that should lose the least. That's why they do what they do. Now, what somebody do under such circumstances? Number one, my first principle, which I believe is that if you can't pay staff, please, there's nothing you can do about that. There's really nothing you can do. Now, every other thing you do after that is based on your good spirit, your good nature. All right? Some people will say, okay, we can't. Well, you see the thing, the trend start. So what they do is that they give the person maybe a month or two off to go and resettle himself while they continue paying him a salary. Do you get my point? And at the end of that month, we will stop. But because we don't just want to throw you out suddenly, we'll give you time off. Please go. All right? But then to let you know that we are not angry with you, we'll manage and pay you next month or the following month while you try and resettle. You are not, the fact that you're not somebody's God. Are you getting my point? Really, all these things must be taken in context. You cannot do anything about it. Some other people, what they do is that, like I think it was Barack Obama that was speaking during his inauguration or who, was complimenting some people, commending some people who accepted lower pay so that nobody would be laid off. Let's assume that the company was paying a total of $10,000 a month, as an example, to 50 people, as an example. I don't know how much they were paying. That comes to $400, right? It's an example. Now, they now didn't have the money. So what they want to do is lay some people off, drop their wage bill to maybe about $7,000. So what everybody just said, all right, we'll work less hours. Like if you lay people off, each one of us, we're working 8 hours a day. Okay, let's all now work 5 hours a day. Pay us for 5 hours, but nobody gets laid off. A friend of mine runs a ministry. One day, he said, when they checked the ministry finances, they found they couldn't pay the people that they hired. So he called everybody to a meeting, explained to them, the only way I can retain everybody here is if they take lower pay. And I think everybody, or maybe minus one person, opted for the lower pay. Are you getting my point? Nobody is saying that somebody will go and manufacture money doesn't have. Nobody's saying that. You get my point? It's the spirit that matters. Later on, I can say it now. One of the things we must learn, all right, is it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be what? Wise. It said that in the summer, it lays up what? Food for the winter season, which you can't get food. One of the things you will learn, people think that, now laying up for tomorrow as an individual is against faith. But business is slightly different. It's not one person. He has your spirit, yes, quite all right. But you see, when God gives you an opportunity, let me explain what I'm going to say. Joseph, God gave him a vision. There's going to be 7 years of trouble following 7 years of intense prosperity. You get my point? So what did he do? He took from the 7 years of prosperity and then put it aside for the 7 years of trouble that he knew was coming. A lot of people don't know how to plan, and I think we should learn it. Let me give an example. If you hire staff, please have medical insurance. Otherwise, you're going to one day look like a wicked man. Do you get my point? Arrange medical insurance for your staff. Somebody is going to fall sick one day and won't come to work for 3 months. And you have a choice of two. Stop being the person and be the first wicked man of your family. Do you understand my point? In which somebody who doesn't have money needs the money, that's when you stop paying him. Or you continue paying and your business suffers because the person was working, was generating income. That is one. If you intend to build a big business, then you expect people to stay with you for a long time. Please have retirement plans. I'm not joking. It's as if you enlarge your heart. Stop thinking like you're not selling tomato and guguru. I'm not gathering you here so that for the next 20 years you'll be selling tomato and pepper, daily cycling of money. I expect to have great dreams and build great businesses. Is that here an amen? In the same, in that light, you have to make plans. Even one day they're going to retire. You will discuss it from the beginning. Oh boy. I paid this amount of money. We hope to take this percentage out from you, so we invest it. But this is what businesses do. You match that to give people as an incentive. You get my point? Maybe for every naira you put down, we'll put in 1 naira or we'll put 50 kobo. The whole thing is worked into your pay package. Do you get my point? It's not as if you are Father Christmas from somewhere. The money must come from somewhere. The whole thing has been worked out. The reason is that even if you don't discuss with the people, in your mind, like this one that they said that some people, you've served them for 20 years. When it's time to settle the people, they now drive them away. I say, that's real foolishness. You shouldn't let that happen. The day the man starts serving you, you're not paying him a salary, start putting money aside towards the settlement. Create a special arm of the business that's meant to generate money for settlement purposes. Do you follow what I'm going to say? So that's the kind of thing I'm saying. If that, in the times of prosperity, people shouldn't just whack everything up like that. And that's why it's good. One of the ways to invest money is to expand your horizon. And when the time comes, if you have to shut down some area, then you from there collect money and settle people. You get that's just practical wisdom. All right? I can't give you one scripture more than go to the and down sluggard for that kind of thing. I'm just giving you wisdom from what I have observed because I have thought about these things for long. That's medical insurance thing. If people are going to work for you for a long time, please, you must do it. You just have to do it. These days, walk up to a Nigeria is starting this HMO thing. They're already having this. Join up. Arrange you register a kind of cooperative for your staff, a union, and then they register with the medical insurance scheme so that when staff get sick, you won't shut your eyes and look like a wicked person. You end up just looking like a very generous man. And say, okay, all the bills come to our company. But you've been paying over time. Those who are not sick, you're already paying for them. So those who are sick use all the money. The The solution to things like that is to be prepared ahead of time. And it's good we are mentioning it now. You're building a business, please. Maybe next week again, I will talk about some things on how to handle customers and staff and all of that. All right, we'll discuss some practical things about it. All right, but for now, since you asked that question, let's answer it now. If you don't have money to hire people, in fact, I first said Bishop, we did post this on long ago, then please, don't owe people staff. In civilized countries, it's not allowed. It's not here that I say they're not billed for 2 months. That one, the first month, that's why they always lay people off. A lot of them, the first month they can't pay, they lay you off. But the best thing to do, like I said, is if you have to do that, you plan, you explain to people. You will explain. We can't. We wish we could. Now, for that reason, these are the areas we are closing. Please, people who are there, by the end of so and so month, we'll have to discontinue your employment. But from today, we'll give you time to try and balance out. One of my friends, he moved from Nigeria and went abroad. And there was a woman who worked for him for years as a nanny, taking care of the baby and taking care of the house during the day. She was getting elderly. Then one day they got up, packed, and moved to the U.S. Then one day he called me, said, Banky, I realized that I had no plan for this woman. And the thing was killing him in his heart. So I started sending me money. Every month for the next, I think, 2 years, I was paying that woman regularly. I see she was still working. I was giving her then 5,000 every month. Every month. Now, she was no longer working. You know? They were now living abroad. The one that just called me said, he said, Banky, I think this is bad. This woman worked for us for years, maybe like 4 or 5 years. I don't know the exact number of years. Then one day we just disappeared. He said, no, this is not right. So the money gave me at the time finished. So I called him sometime ago. I said, this money don't finish. So there's a way I did. I said, look, there's one money that was remaining. So I gave her this Christmas. This look at that pass. I said, I made it appear as if he sent her Christmas present. The guy called him back later. I said, no, Banky. Please, I'm very sorry. I think I forgot ya. Let us start again. Every month, send her money. He said, I think that's the least we can do. Because she's getting elderly. And she served them very faithfully. Very, very faithfully. He said, well, since I can afford it, how much is $5,000? Maybe like $35. I can do that. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All right. So it's the spirit that matters. And let God will give us. Did I answer your question anyway? All right. Thank you very much. Okay, you have another question?
For as an individual, in the course of trying to pursue your own vision, you find yourself in another vision.
Yeah, good. That's the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've already answered it severally. Maybe you didn't notice I was answering it.
Okay.
What he said is that from if you listen, using it, I believe you're just using that man as an example. No, give it.
Put it back on. Share you. Put it back on.
Now, if you see, what he was saying is that the man is a professor, so he did not plan, obviously, to become what he has become. So that is it possible while you're pursuing a vision, you are moved into something else? Yes, I've said that several times. That's why, you know, I kept on saying, I said something earlier, just not too long ago, that it's good to have a vision. I said, but I'm not saying that's all that God is going to do in your life. You know, I said that, and I've said it several times, that when God gave talents to people, all right, he said, occupy till I come. He did not tell them that he was trying to make them rulers. But based upon what they did with what he gave them, they had a vision for the money, they multiplied the money, they now say, for everyone you gave me, I've earned 10 more. They now made him ruler of what? 10 cities. I remember I discussed that David only had vision for his sheep, but because of the way he protected and defended his sheep and made them multiply, God made him a shepherd over Israel. Using that as an example, his life story again will help us. If I use that one here, he wanted to just help his nation develop. He was lecturing in the United States of America when they had independence. So he moved back home to come and contribute what he could in making that poor young nation, helping them develop. This whole wahala started when he left. His campus was still in one place. He left the campus to go and do like practical studies on poverty in the neighboring village, in the village nearby. That was when he discovered that people were held in bondage because they were owing half a dollar equivalent. That the women, especially for him, they were not poor because they were lazy. They were poor because they had no capital. First thing he did was to collect his students, his postgraduate students, and he started working amongst those women. First thing he did was to pay up $27 to free 50 women from bondage. He never wanted to be. Look, he said that he realized that all this book, the study, doesn't teach the practical things about poverty. So those women were a case study of poverty. It was academic work he was doing initially, while trying to help the community. It was events that led him into what. That's one of the reasons why the man, my wife was asking me yesterday, that's one of the reasons why the man doesn't hold any share in those things. Because it's not the. He's doing something, and the thing he's doing is working. It's alleviating poverty. Do you understand the point? Yes, it will happen. It will most certainly happen. It will most certainly happen. In fact, it has to happen. Warren Buffett's first company he bought, you know what they were doing? They were manufacturing cotton. Berkshire Hathaway was a material manufacturing company. Or is it material or paper? One of the two. I think it was paper. Berkshire Hathaway. When you hear of Berkshire Hathaway, a company that was worth hundreds, maybe of billions of dollars, it was a company that used to manufacture paper. But they have become something else. They own Geico, the third largest auto insurance in America. They own most of Coca-Cola. They own Gillette. And then you buy Gillette and shave. They're putting money in Warren Buffett's pocket. Do you get the point? Yeah, no, yes. That's why, you know what I said is that God gives you something to prove faithful, and from there moves into what you want to move you into. Do you get the point? Very good. Bishop. Go ahead.
Sir, please, I want to understand some things about these cuts and...
What?
Cuts, giving cuts and kickbacks.
Okay,
settlements.
Okay.
Now, you let me paint a situation that happened, and you quoted for a contract, and one of the directors in the company asked you to build in some costs into the contract for him.
Mm.
What advice do you have for the person? Number two, the Nigerian Constitution approves a markup of, I think, 5% on goods and services. Do you think it would be wise, or do you think it's good for somebody to add more than 5%?
What do you mean by markup?
Markup is like a profit on... Not VAT.
No, I think that's supposed to cover things like their withholding tax and stuff like that.
Like,
it's not your profit, is it?
It covers both profit and all those things.
Nigerian Constitution.
Yes, sir.
I will need to talk to a lawyer because I'm not aware that you can legislate the amount of profit I make.
It's in the Constitution, sir.
Don't worry. There are 10,000 ways to bypass that if it's law you want to obey. Okay. First, work in the cost of your money that you invested at current rates. Of credit and lending, then put in your own time for running around. I charge you 100,000 naira an hour of my time. That's my prerogative. You understand that? When we finish at the end of the year, put 5%. You will find that I'm more expensive than Julius Berger. No, that one is a bit of a letter of the law. Do you understand my point? I don't know who's enforcing that. But the first one I will answer very easily. You understand? No, you see, actually, that one I would like to talk to a lawyer and get the perspective. I don't believe that you can make a law that I can only make 5% of profit on what I do. No, you can't. After all, the banks declare dividends. What is their interest rate? That CBN sets. CBN sets one criminal interest rate. And that 5%, is it per day or per hour or per month? You see what I'm saying? Because if I invest 100 million naira, no, let's just say 100,000 naira for a day, and I make a profit of 0.1%, but I make 0.1% every day for 30 days, that's 3%. I make 3% every day for 36 for 1 year, that's 36%. To an American, I'm a wizard. If you return 36%, why had it Madoff skim everybody off? He promised 20% in a year. Warren Buffett had made 20% consistently over the last few decades and became the richest man in the world. So if I give you 36% in a year, I'm a wizard. On 0.1% a day. So the 5% you're calculating for me, is it per week or per annum? It can't be per annum because you say I should borrow money from a bank at 25%. What are you talking about? See, that's very difficult to interpret like that. You get what I'm saying? But the first one I can answer you very easily. I'll give you personal advice. A man walks up to you and says that build Paje. You know what they call Paje? Say build something for me into the business, which is essentially he's trying to cheat the enterprise. I'll give you a simple thing. Please, tell him you can't do it. He won't approve the business, then don't do business with them. That's the simple way I can put it. Let me tell you something about people. They know who does it, and they know who doesn't. Let me tell you how God rewards you. The day something will come and say, we want an honest man. Say, I know one guy, that one, he 1%, he no go put for anybody. It's a very, that's real corruption. It's very common. I've been in situations like that before. I wanted to buy something for, I saw somebody supply, one place where I used to work, let me not give details, supply this thing for our institution so that, I said, it will cost an amount of money. I said, okay, one day I'll go and tell the boss. One day they told me that the price has doubled. I said, how come now? He said, the boss said that he should add his own joy. Of course, we never got the equipment. We never got it. The price became crazy. Do you get my point? No. You see, we have to be very careful because what people do is, the perpetrator, you know, we kind of extend this issue of, that's what they call real corruption. Bible says that he that doesn't love his life unto death, that's when Christianity begins to set him. Because, have you heard me preach before? I'm not saying that refuse and they will give you the job. Listen, refuse, they won't give you. I know people, business people, that don't do government business for that reason. One of our neighbors, the guys who built that UBA marble house, that's one. Now, if it's connection, those guys are connected enough. All right? The man who owns that company, you know him, he's an architect. People like that have connected enough in government to get government jobs all the time. But he doesn't. He doesn't do it. You never see him building a building and it's a government building. You know his reason? He doesn't have time for all this. 5% for this, 2% for that, 3% for this person. He doesn't have that time. So he does not do it at all. One of my friends once, he wanted to, in fact, one of his friends that was building that particular building, a bank manager around there walked up to him. So they wanted to do a culvert. I'm like, okay, fine, we'll do it for you. Give the man the cost. The man looked and said, okay, you should put this one for him. The guy collected his paper, said, I'm not going to do it again. Forget it, I'm not doing. Yeah, I'm not doing. You know, people are very wicked. A bank manager. You know how much they pay bank managers in Nigeria? They want to build culvert in front of your branch. You see, say they must put something for you. You are a wicked soul. My friend just told me, he said, Banky, look, I beg. I don't have time for that kind of nonsense. He just said, forget, I'm not doing again. I'm not doing. Now find somebody else to do it for you. I'm not doing. So you see, one has to be very careful. At the beginning, that's why it's good. You are hearing some of this and say, you set, make up your mind from the beginning. What you don't want to do and what you're not planning to do. Are you getting my point? Yes. You start it from the beginning so that you build up to that level. I think there should be a new generation of people that don't do such things. We should have that new generation. Do you understand my point? Yes, we should have that new generation. Not that you want to bid for a contract and it's supposed to be 15 million naira. By the time you're through, with your hand, you put down 35 million naira and you know that the contract is worth 15 million. I think we should not do that. And it's a good thing to start from the beginning. Say, I'm not planning to do this. All right? All right. I think I've answered the question. Okay. Any other one? Let us... Okay.